Good morning. My name is Marta Fioriti, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. And today, I need my palm. I had to do this at the 9 o'clock service too. Today, when I say palm, the word palm, I want you to wave your palms in celebration throughout my sermon. So children, you might not know exactly all the words that I'm saying, but if you listen closely, when you hear the word palm, wave your palms. This sermon is in response and dedication to Trans Visibility Day, which was honored this past Friday, March 31st. And I dedicate this message to the mass shooting of children in Tennessee and the transgendered shooter. Lord, hear our prayers. The road less traveled. A few years ago, I had a really good idea. What you will learn about me is that I have a lot of good ideas. And when I say I have an idea and my eyes get wide and my eyebrows go up, my closest friend, who is also in ministry, responds with, uh-oh, and says, okay, in a sort of nervous, but definitely interested way. This might have been what happened in the ancient world on this day in Jerusalem during the big Passover festival when all the people waved palms and laid them on the ground for Jesus. We don't know how it all really started, but we have some historical facts. The Romans had a large parade on one side of town, the side of town where Jesus' followers were not welcome. It was a fancy parade, and whoever lived on that side of town was also fancy. The Jesus followers were not invited to the fancy parade for all the reasons we can name today. It was the ghetto, the slums, the barrio, the neighborhoods that struggled to make ends meet. Palms from dying trees were probably already fallen to the ground in disarray and dirt. These neighborhoods were rough around the edges. There was a different kind of violence in the poor neighborhoods that made the fancy neighborhoods feel uncomfortable. But let me be clear, the fancy neighborhoods did have violence too. It simply showed up differently. It was violence that included the exclusion of rights in all manifestations. The rights of the poor, the rights of women, the rights of children, the rights of the sick. So imagine two processions entering Jerusalem on the same spring day. One was a peasant procession with palms, and the other an imperial procession with soldiers and uniforms. From the east, Jesus rode a donkey down the Mount of Olives, cheered by his followers, waving palms. And on the opposite side of the city, from the west, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea and Samaria, entered Jerusalem on a stallion at the head of imperial cavalry and soldiers. Two processions. Jesus's procession proclaimed the kingdom of God. Pilate's proclaimed the power of empire. And so Jesus and crew had an idea to make their own parade, to create a space where all are welcome, to celebrate and parade because this year's Pesach, they will not be Passover. The idea is that the group of misfits would create a lived experience of liberation from the bondages of Roman Empire, at least on this day. Why not? They had traveled from their homes with picnics and camping gear to celebrate Passover in Jerusalem with everyone else. While I love the pageantry of Holy Week and its beautiful way of teaching us stories infused with moving music, I invite us to pause and remember that this day and this parade of Jesus' people took courage beyond measure. And Jesus was the one chosen to lead the way. This procession is worthy of celebrating, waving our palms and singing Hosanna. But it is the road less traveled. Today symbolizes a community rally for equal rights rather than a westernized understanding of what it means to parade. I mean, I love Midwestern parades with candy to save my life. But the palm branch we wave, this palm branch is more than a symbol of that Easter is almost here. Palms symbolize victory, triumph, and peace for the ancient communities that lived in the slums outside of Jerusalem, at least on this day. For Jews in Jesus' time, waving palms was a sign of independence and peace. So when the crowds greeted Jesus with palms raised high, they celebrated a new leader that would reign freedom from the Romans, though not through war and bloodshed, but through peace. So Jesus chose to enter on a humble donkey, reminding them that he is the peacemaking leader to be celebrated, not a Roman soldier. Riding on a tiny donkey showed how powerlessness became powerful, how a peasant silenced royalty without firing a single shot. And he did this through mere courage. Palm branches became protest peace signs rather than signs of revolutionary victory. They became signs rallying for freedom, for love and justice. Signs like all are welcome, Black Lives Matter, keep families together, protect kids, not guns, and trans rights are human rights. But remember, I had an idea a few years ago when my close friend in the ministry said, uh-oh. And it was the peaceful protest palm branches that gave me the idea. Oh, yeah, gotta wave. If palm branches are a symbol of peace and protest for justice, and the donkey is a symbol of humility, then that means Palm Sunday is a call for radical hospitality and a message of proclaiming the release of the captives, as the great prophet Isaiah reminds us. And if this is what Palm Sunday is, I will also take the road less traveled, like Jesus. So I had an idea. I invited my friend to preach on Palm Sunday a few years ago. They had just left their position at the Disciples of Christ Church when I met them. By day, my friend goes by Kai. By night, my friend dresses in drag and goes by Kylie Michaels, the good Christian woman. Kylie Michaels is a brilliant talent. So I asked, can you come and tell your story? Because it sounds like Palm Sunday to me. I love those people in the back reminding me. It sounds like you have taken the road less traveled. It sounds like you had courage to resist. And maybe if you tell your story, it will free other people from the bondage of hate and violence. I shared the platform with Kai that day, who often stood on the margins of church communities. I centered their voice and proclaimed their freedom and celebration and waved our palms. In preparation, I asked Kai to bring a few items they would wear when they performed the Kylie Michaels show. Maybe their large, brilliant wig or the stiletto sequined shoes could sit on the chancel as a reminder of ultimate freedom and equity. That morning, I prepared the worship space. I gathered palms around the communion table and down the center aisle. A few minutes later, Kai walked in. But she did not walk in as Kai. She walked in as Kylie Michaels, the good Christian woman. She was almost 7 feet tall with her wig and shoes decked out in makeup with a long clergy robe. She said, "I decided to come as Kylie because it is when I feel the most like myself." So there she was. Tall and brilliant in my small, semi-rural church sanctuary. I took a deep breath, and I remembered a TED Talk called "Change Your Pants, Change Your Life" by a woman named Stacia. And this TED Talk was not about gender issues or trans issues, though Stacia does have a trans son. It was more of a message for all of us. Stacia says there are all kinds of rules about what you put on your body based on cultural expectation and style, just to fit in. There are rules for stay-at-home moms, you know, yoga pants. There are rules for country club men with those golf shirts, or even middle-aged women in patriarchal professions. You know, we have the, you know, little women's suits that we have to get. So much of the time, we can't figure out the rules, or we're scared to break these implicit rules. So what we wear and how we look on the outside often does not match how we feel on the inside. In progressive churches, we try not to have explicit rules because we know better. We try not to have them on how we dress and behave, but we all know there are rules. And we create boxes that others cannot fit into. We don't allow others to express their true self fully, and they become invisible, lose their voice, and convince themselves that it is what is on the inside that matters more. Those people hide from the world, and they hide from church. Those rules are inhospitable. But what if it was our job to allow all people to show up on the outside the way they feel on the inside? What if we allow people to define for themselves what it means to show up in public, to show up at church, to show up and entertain in a way that brings them energy and spirit? When we don't allow people to show up fully, it does not allow them to see and know their beauty and worth fully. We teach people to abandon what they know to be true and adopt others' expectations. Stacia says, to see and celebrate beauty, we must allow the outside to be congruent with the inside. Stacia calls this inside-out congruency. Inside-out congruency is not about preconceived rules or cultural norms and expectations defined by someone else. Inside-out congruency is a courageous act to show up exactly how you feel on the inside. It is an invitation to break out of the box created by another and create your own box. Jesus created a new box that was defined by how he felt on the inside and what he knew of God. And that box was not defined by expectations and rules of the Roman Empire. Jesus embodied inside-out congruency. This, my friends, was his saving grace for all of us. Inside-out congruency means finding the very essence of yourself, which is pure, unadulterated magic. Jesus invites us to connect to that power that allows us to take the road less traveled, to indeed be ourselves, beloved children of God. So rather than Kai showing up less confident, less magical, inside some box not meant for them, they showed up as Kylie Michaels, the good Christian woman. They showed up confident and bright-eyed and sure of who she is. For Kai, being in drag was not about entertainment. Being in drag for them was inside-out congruency. It was how they knew their very essence. It is how they felt as a beloved child of God. So that year, a drag queen preached on Palm Sunday. I sure had an idea. It was the most genuine and honest sermon I had witnessed. She gave her testimony of faith and love of God and the church. She reminded us of Marsha P. Johnson, American gay liberation activist and drag queen. She reminded us of Marsha's courage to walk the road less traveled like Jesus and his disciples, and lead the way for the Stonewall Uprising of 1969, when there was a series of protests that became a watershed moment that transformed the gay liberation movement and the 20th century fight for LGBTQI rights in the United States. So this year, this Palm Sunday, let us worship a God of a billion personal and unique boxes. Let us be the church that breaks down the rules created by the empire. Let us wave our palms in radical hospitality as a symbol of liberation and justice. It won't be easy. The road less traveled is hard. So today, when you look in the mirror, don't ask, "How do I want to look today?" Instead, I want you to pause and look in the mirror. Take a deep breath and ask, who am I and how do I want to show up in the world as a beloved person of God? May you feel embodied joy. May you be deeply seen by eyes who've loved that joy. May it be a day of whatever it needs to be, a day of fierce and courageous visibility, a day of queer truth-telling, a day where you breathe your name only to yourself. However you find yourself today, may you be wrapped and tenacious in solidarity and love. And by all means, wave those palms. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.